This is the Frogcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Frogcast. We have been away for a little while here dealing with some NCAA investigation that has to do with Ole Miss and TCU, but we are back and we're ready to dig into some tough topics that are going on in the life of TCU. It's been a couple of weeks since we've been on here. Trey, you doing all right, my friend?
Doing great. And there's absolutely no videos of me out there smoking weed out of a gas mask, so... No worries about that.
Although, if your stepdad or your financial advisor has your password,
my Instagram account,
yes, I would encourage you to change that. But then again, I give out my Social Security number to people from Nigeria all the time because I know they need the help and they're going to give me that money one of these days. Well, we have the guy that makes the wheels turn, that makes the trains run on time, Daniel Southern. You doing all right today, my friend?
Man, I'm doing good. Just been hanging in there. Keeping my office productivity low by being very active on the Killer Frogs there. And, you know, good stuff. So I'm ready to roll. It's been a while. It feels almost feels kind of rusty getting this rolling here.
Well, we'll be fine. We'll start to cuss. We'll start to talk about Baylor. We'll talk about some things going on with the Frogs. Talk about some of the big boys that want to come visit our big boy campus. We'll be all right here. And if not, you'll be able to tell us why the rust is off, Daniel, here in just a little bit about what makes this show a little bit easier for you than it does for Trey and I. Well, the first thing we want to get into is we have several Frogs that were drafted by, in the NFL draft just last week. You know, the Frogs have been putting guys in the league for years, but it seems as if that number continues to go up and go up. Not usually we'd have a couple of guys drafted, say like 10 years ago, one, maybe two, handful of free agents that were picked up in the draft. But now those numbers have almost flipped. We had five Frogs taken in the draft, as well as, by my count, four people signed as undrafted free agents. And so, Trey, you were watching the draft. I know you were because you're a football addict like I am. When you saw Josh Dotson walk across the stage on that Thursday night, what did it make you feel as both a Dotson fan and a Frog fan?
Obviously, it's great. Happy for him. He is definitely worthy of a first-round draft pick. I think he's going to have a really solid NFL career. And if, you know, maybe he gets paired with a good quarterback, could have a really great NFL career as a receiver. He has that size and leaping ability and all of that he can do a lot of special things, obviously, that we've seen make a lot of incredible catches. So it's awesome. You know, it's always great for the school when you get one of those first round draft picks. Obviously, because you get, you know, they talk about TCU on TV when he's drafted, show some highlights. Plus, you know, in recruiting, you can say, especially Dotson, like, look at this kid. He comes from, you know, walk on, went to Wyoming, transfers, you know, and now he's a first round draft pick, which is an awesome story. But I will say, pretty disappointed he went to the Redskins, man. As a Cowboys fan, I hate the damn Redskins.
Not, so not great.
I'm pretty disappointed. Like, of all teams, like, I would have rather him, honestly, like, probably gone to Philadelphia than Washington. I just do not like the Redskins, man. Damn.
Hey, at least he doesn't have RG3 throwing in the ball.
True. Yeah,
that's really why I don't like the Redskins, RG3.
That's right. And would you please just call them Washington?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, my bad.
It's all right. Yeah, seeing Dotson get picked on the first night was great. To know that, you know, here's a guy that went from a walk-on to an All-American to a first-round draft pick, that's a TCU story that you want told on the recruiting trail. We had a handful of other guys that were picked up as well. You know, you see Joey Hunt, Derek Kendrick, Colby Listenby, Halabalaviti Vaitai. Daniel, you're much better at saying that than I am.
Yes.
But when you look at those other four guys that were picked up to, you know, Hunt of the Seahawks, Big V is going to Philly, Colby's going to the Buffalo Bills, and Kendrick to the Browns. Daniel, which of those four do you think has the potential to make the biggest impact, say, over the next five-year period?
Man, that's tough. I feel like like with Joey going to wait. Wait, who am I thinking of?
Yeah, Joey went to Seattle.
Oh, well, cause I was making sure he was drafted, and it wasn't one of the other ones. It's been a week, so I already forgot. I feel like he's going to have a good impact because he's already kind of made it. I don't want to say made a splash, but he's caused some people to pay attention to him for his work out there, as Boykin has too. And I think it's great for them to be together. I think it's interesting that he's not as tall as a lot of centers would be in the NFL. And I think that's interesting that they would get Boykin too, who's not as tall. So if you have those together, he can have a better line of sight. I feel like he's got a lot of potential. And then obviously Lissenby, just because he's him, he's so fast. I mean, he ran what was that article? It was saying something about, you know, he ran the 4.39 with a double hernia. And if he hadn't done that, you know, the track coach is like, he could do a 4.1. And which
there's nothing that sounds comfortable about a double hernia. Can I just get that on the table?
Sure. Oh, yeah. And then trying to sprint with it? Good Lord.
Yeah, I agree. I think Colby's going to be able to make an impact. He has I hate this word, but he does have the potential to be a quality impact player in the NFL. The guy I feel sorry for is Kindred, just because he went to the Browns. Oh, man. But at the same time, this is another TCU's recruiting trail story where he has a two-star, had one offer to UTSA. You know, about a week before signing day, Gary Patterson scoops in, signs him. He comes in, and he's the quarterback on the defense last year. We don't go 11-2 without Derek Kendrick back there, playing with a busted collarbone. I mean, who does that? So all those guys that were drafted, I think, are going to make the team, and I think are going to be able to, you know, make a contribution to that team. But you mentioned Boykin, Daniel. You know, we see that Trey got picked up by Seattle. Aaron Green got picked up by the LA Rams. And I think it was just this morning I saw Terrell Latham got brought in as an undrafted free agent to the Tennessee Titans. So that's a good haul for the Frogs to be putting kids into the camp. You know, I guess the million-dollar question, Trey, is does Boykin have a chance to play quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, man, I don't know. Okay, so I feel like I see and read a lot of people talking about how Seattle was a good place for Boykin to go. And I totally see that because, you know, he can learn from a Super Bowl champion quarterback. And it seems to be a really good organization from the top down and all of that. But then on the flip side, you know, I look at it as, you know, Russell Wilson's still really young, and obviously he's going to be their starter unless he's injured. And so I don't really see Boykin getting to, you know, ever play quarterback in Seattle unless Russell Wilson does get hurt. Or I guess, you know, they could maybe use him kind of in a Cordell Stewart slash type way where he plays, you know, two or three plays at running back, two or three at receiver, something like that. Maybe if he does make a big enough impact, maybe they do put in a package form or something. So I'm kind of split on the Boykin thing. Like I guess I can see it both ways. I don't know.
Yeah, I do. I agree with the tension that you're describing there. I think this is a great spot for him to be. The reports out of Seattle are clearly that he's made an impact and that he has separated himself from Jake Heaps and from you know, Vernon Adams. So that's great. I mean, they brought him in to be the backup quarterback, and it looks like he's in a position to be able to win that spot. But he might not see the field in a year. He might not see the field for 3 years. But it is a great place to learn. It is a great place. I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers was a backup for a couple of years to Brett Favre before he got the reins handed to him, and he's done just fine. I'm not saying Boykin's going to be he's going to be the next second coming of a Green Bay quarterback. But why not, man? Let's give it a shot. He could be the next Aaron Rodgers. Who knows? Anything else you guys saw from the NFL draft about the Frogs that you want to lift up here while we got everybody on the line? No. Well, I do want to mention this, and it's probably the best that we didn't have a show over the last couple of weeks. And I make a pledge to myself to not make light of things that are awful. But Sean Oakman wasn't drafted. Moving forward, Big 12 expansion. To me, it sounds a lot like sands through the hourglass. So are the days of our lives. But the Big 12 had their big meetings last week. We had ADs, we had coaches all together. Since they are so concerned about the welfare of student athletes, they were staying at $500 a night hotels out in Scottsdale. So the Big 12 is once again publicly wringing its hands and airing its dirty laundry. And it looks like Dave Boren is dead set on getting the Big 12 to expand. He wants the three-step process. He wants the Longhorn Network killed. He wants a Big 12 network created. And he wants the 12 to 14 teams expanded so we can have a championship game. We could talk about this dang near every episode, Trey, but it looks like we have reached a time where you kind of got to take a dump or get off the pot. Do you think the Big 12 will expand by the end of the summer? And if so, is it the right move? And we'll get to candidates in a minute, but do you think it's going to happen and should it happen?
Oh, man. It's tough for me to say, will it happen? I'm going to say by the end of the summer, I'm going to say no, it will not happen by then. And I personally, I can't remember, maybe it was Stuart Mandel or one of the kind of main college football writers on Twitter had one of the best tweets, I thought, and it was, you know, Big 12 is being criticized or, you know, not given the benefit of the doubt because they don't have a championship game. But, like, it's the conference that actually is doing it right where everybody plays everybody. So I don't want them to expand. I kind of personally like it at 10. If there were better options out there to add two teams, then I would probably change my mind. You know, if you could get a Power 5 school from another conference, I just don't see that happening. So right now I'm currently against it unless they just shock me and pull something crazy out that, like, I don't know about right now, that there's a team or two in the back, you know, back room kind of discussions going on. But out of the teams that are available now that I've kind of heard thrown around, like, I'm not really that into it. Especially, I'm so anti-BYU, like, so anti them. I don't want BYU in our conference at all.
Hell no.
Hell no. You feel much the same way, Daniel?
Yeah, I don't really see it happening. I feel like, or I mean, it might down the road, but not so quickly. It just feels like there's a lot of logistics involved, and I really don't, even if they did, I don't want to go west. Not just because I don't want BYU, but I just don't think that's the direction to go, especially if you got West Virginia. You know, you can't cross three time zones or whatever, and that's just a nightmare. I think we need to go towards the east. I don't really know what the answers are if we were to do it. I do, like Trey, I do like it the way it is. I like playing everybody. I wish there was a way to somehow expand and then still play everybody, you know, get rid of these FCS games or something. Just because I'm tired of watching boring, like Stephen F. Austin list last year. It was so boring. And but if they are to do it, I just don't know the answers, but I don't feel like they can do it that quickly. I'm not an expert by any means, but that's just kind of the gut feeling I get. I really don't know who the good options are. Everyone talks about Cincinnati and Memphis and UConn and stuff like that, and I mean, UConn would be great if you're talking basketball, but that's really not the main reason you do things like this. That would be football. So it's not the easiest situation because there's just not that many good choices if you were to do it. And then there's certainly reasons why you should and why I don't want to and blah, 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 blah. So that's where I stand.
My mind changes on this literally every day. I was a big advocate of expansion last year. I thought we should expand by two, if not four. I like teams like UCF. I think that's the second largest state school in the country. They have as many kids on campus as the University of Texas does. That's a school you want to, when you think about where the program will be in 10 or 15 years, that's where that's the epicenter of college football outside of Texas is Central Florida. You know, not just the name, but Orlando. There's a ton of athletes and players and culture there for college football. And you got a huge state school, which, to be honest, you know, I know we're fans of a small private school, but we need big state schools that can generate a lot of alumni and travel and all that kind of stuff. But then I changed my mind because I agree with both you guys. I like a 10-team league. I like a round robin. I hate the idea. I mean, like, we have said this before if you've listened to our show. Example A of why conference expansion does nothing but dilute and water down schedules. Let me introduce you to the Iowa Hawkeyes. Does anybody really believe that they should have been one snap away from the playoff? That team was shit. They got smoked by Stanford. They got smoked by Stanford. And so I don't, you know, the idea that you just kind of set up this a schedule to where you play one team every 5 years from the other side of the bracket, essentially, I can't stand that. So that's where I'm at right now. But I do think we're going to expand. I think it's going to happen. I think they're going to expand. And my hunch is they're going to add BYU and Cincinnati. So if I had to bet $50 right now, those are the two teams I think they'd add, because I think they'll add BYU because they put 70,000 people in the stadium for a game. Their tailgating is awful because it's only Sprite. But Cincinnati, I mean, they're just – I don't know what they are. I'm not a fan of that. But.
I can get on board, I guess, with Cincinnati if I had to. But like I said, BYU is just bad news, man. They're just bad news.
BYU and Texas in the same conference?
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't that be like being housemates with like your first ex-wife and your second ex-wife? Jeez. I mean, like, they just do nothing but tell you what to do. I mean, how awful would that be?
And then there's whole not playing on Sunday thing, too. I mean, even Baylor does that. Come on.
I know.
Like, BYU has a TV channel, Texas has one, and then they're going to try a Big 12 one, too. Like, then, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that.
I'll tell you what, BYU channel is awful. I don't mean that it's a pejorative, but that's just like, you know, they only show two things on Longhorn Network. It's like Charlie Strong interview and Vince run into the end zone. Those are the only two things they show. But man, BYU TV, that is some boring stuff.
Yeah, it's terrible. I do kind of wish that we could figure out a Big 12 network somehow. I mean, there's just no reason for Texas to give up the Longhorn Network, even though it's like an epic failure. I just don't see them giving it up and turning that into a Big 12 network. I just don't really see that happening. Like, I don't know. So that kind of sucks.
I mean, it's an epic failure for ESPN.
Yeah. But
the Longhorns are making out like a bandit with that thing. So, because they're making their money and then they get to say, hey, we have our own channel. So,
right.
Yeah, those checks cash every month from ESPN. Yeah. Yeah, I don't understand why people want to watch, you know, Charlie Strong do crossword puzzles and then hand UT a $20 million check every year. I don't get it.
Grazing on his ranch for 3 hours.
That's right. That's right. No. You know, horticulture with Ricky Williams. You know, I will just I do want to make this point. Living in Big Ten country, I was so excited because I just assumed I'd get to watch the TCU Penn State baseball series this last weekend. They didn't carry that on the Big Ten Network, the Big Ten streaming app, the Big Ten alternate when they have two games on at once. They didn't. This is the biggest non-conference baseball game series they had all season to host in Big Ten footprint, and they didn't even put it on TV. And so I know that networks are cool and all to say you have, but I guarantee you if TCU was playing Penn State, they'd have that thing on Fox Sports Southwest, if not on FS1. They would not let that kind of stuff flip through their fingers. So, I mean, I guess somebody wants to watch women's lacrosse when Rutgers plays Penn State, but whoever. So, oh, well. We will know. I have a feeling we'll know, because if we don't expand, that means the conference is going to die. And if we do expand, it means we just will live a little bit longer, unfortunately. That's just my really pessimistic view of the Big 12.
However things work out, as long as Baylor is left in the dust, I'm totally happy.
Yeah, I would point our listeners to an article I tweeted out on the Frogcast account from Tom Fornelli, one of the lead writers for college football on CBS. And he wrote an article that says, if the Big 12 blows up, here is in rank order the most attractive schools for people to go after. Of course, number one was Texas, number two was Oklahoma, and number three was TCU. And they said, you know, we are loaded, which we are, check our tuition, check our endowment, and DFW is such an appealing market to people. And so if you want to see some real entertainment, go to the comment sections and watch people talk about what a great school Tech is. I have this guy online harassing me, telling me that Tech is like one degree award away from becoming an AAU school. They're one of the top research schools in the country. And I'm like, dude, did you spend 6 years to get your associates at Tech? Because that's what it sounds like.
They suck. What a joke.
They do. All they got to do is take all the chancellors of whatever college, whatever conference is interested, and take them out to Lubbock for one day, and make sure it coincides with like that dust storm that comes showing up. Because that all you need to do is tour Lubbock, and you'll never ever invite them into whatever conference you're inviting.
Don't forget to warn them about that syphilis outbreak.
I have heard that.
They may not even go. They'll just decide before they even leave.
That's right. Well, you always wonder what those college administrators do on those big trips. So now we'll find out about 6 months afterwards. So, oh man. Well, if you have followed college football with a kind of addiction that I figured you would, if you're 18 minutes into this podcast and still listening, you know that satellite camps have been a big deal because Jim Harbaugh is taking his shirt off and running around with his man boobs trying to get everybody in Florida to come to Michigan. So satellite camps have basically been set free, and every conference is now all in on setting up satellite camps throughout the country, which if you don't know what it is, in a short sentence, it is a camp where you can be evaluated by Division I campuses coaches that are either on the campus of that school or at a satellite location. So TCU is going to Houston, they're going to Plano, they're going to East Texas, and they're going to go to these places and invite players to come in and get to meet our coaches and be evaluated with their ability to play at Division I level. Well, TCU has set up this camp that I think is a genius. They are inviting in the coaching staffs from USC, Ohio State, and the defending national champion Alabama Crimson Tide to join them in different pieces of this tour throughout Texas. They're going to have the camp in Fort Worth. They're going to have the camp in Houston. They're going to have the camp in East Texas, where they have coaches from each of these three staffs joining them. Now, some people complain and say that we're inviting in all of these power conferences, all these power coaches and big programs into our state to come take our players. But the other side of the coin is, they're already coming, so we might as well get them to a TCU camp and especially get them on campus at TCU so that they can come and see our awesome facilities and meet our beautiful people that are going to walk around campus and get to see our dorms and all that kind of cool stuff. So, Trey, when you look at these satellite camps, is this just a whole bunch of buzz for nothing, or do you think that this has the potential to really jack TCU recruiting up another level?
You know, I tend to think that it's not a bad thing at all. Like you said, they're going to be recruiting this area anyways. And I think, you know, in a 17, 18-year-old kid's eyes, to have TCU associated with those programs at a camp, I really think that elevates the program, and I think it's great, man. I mean, I don't know a whole ton about the camps, but I just don't see how this is really a negative at all, except I don't really care for those other coaches too much. I mean, I guess Saban's all right, but whatever. But yeah, I think it's a good thing.
Trey, you follow college football. You're an addict like I am. Tell me the name of the head coach at USC.
They fired the other dude because he was an alcoholic or whatever.
They did, yes. They fired Sark. That's right.
And they just and they hired the new AD too, right? And he's the former football player, and I can't think of his name.
Oh, Lynn Swan. Yeah,
Lynn Swan.
I had to Google it. Clay Helton.
That's their coach?
That's their coach, is Clay Helton.
Yeah, I wouldn't have been able to pull that out of my head at all.
No. And
the best
all
I could get was CH, so I did okay.
Well, you know, all these sophomores that he's going to be evaluating this summer, none of them will play for him if they commit to USC. That guy will get fired in 2 years. I guarantee it.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah. Did they just hire him?
All right, so when Sark got fired,
right,
they put him on as the interim.
Oh, okay.
Then they made him the head coach and gave him like a 3-year contract that could be bought out with like a 6-pack. I mean, like he is on a contract written on toilet paper. And then they brought in the new AD, Lynn Swan, a couple, you know, I guess about a month ago. And so the new AD is, of course, going to want his guy. So there's no way that this guy is going to be there. He's an unofficial interim. So kind of like the guy that was at Illinois that got fired so they could bring in Lovie Smith a week before spring ball started. So poor guys. Oh, well, I'm sure that their checks will cash as well. Daniel, do you like the satellite camp concept?
Yeah, it's grown on me. At first, I was one of the cynics. I even said so almost exactly. I just figured, great, you know, we're just inviting everyone in. Because, like, when Harbaugh came down to the rape camp down at Baylor, well, I mean, at first I was like, oh, great. But then I've realized, you know, that just makes me think less of Harbaugh. If you want to be associated with Art Briles. But it's such, I feel like the upside totally outweighs the downside here, because like we've been saying, that just associates us with the last two winners, you know, of it all. And those are just monster programs, Alabama and Ohio State. USC is pretty big too, but I don't, like, especially with the young kids, I don't feel like it's going to hold quite as much as the other two as far as just instantly knowing exactly what they're all about. And then now TCU's lumped right in with them. It says a whole lot more than just a dumb camp with Michigan. It's, you know, if they pick one of those other ones, then if that's where they want to go, if they get offered, well, fine. But, you know, now it elevates TCU, or at least cements TCU where I think it is, way at the top. So I like that aspect.
Yeah, I think every 4- and 5-star kid within 500 miles of every one of these camps is going to want to be there because, yes, TCU is going to be there. That's going to bring in a real sense of legitimacy. But then, oh, by the way, come meet Nick Saban. Oh, by the way, come meet Urban Meyer. Oh, by the way, come meet, most importantly, Kelly Helton, because he's the new head coach at USC. But those guys are going to bring some cachet. And I love that they are comfortable being with us. I think that's kind of cool. I'm not going to lie. That's really darn cool for TCU football.
Yeah, I feel like Saban and Patterson kind of get along, because they did that whole let's swap recruiting secret kind of things or whatever they did.
Yeah.
I don't know about, you know, Urban Meyer. He just seems like a rat, but...
I think he wins.
Yeah, he wins. I mean, good God, Ohio State's as big as it gets. So
yeah,
it's unreal. Now, did I read that right? I think I read that right. Most of the camps, I think, are here at TCU.
I think it's a triangle. I think I've got this right off the top of my head. So correct me and tweet me if I'm wrong. The camp on campus is with Ohio State, and the camp in East Texas is with USC. And the camp in Houston is with Alabama.
Okay, but I think
that's what it is. There's a couple more in there that I think we're doubling up. There might be a Plano camp. It's some variation of all that. There's not going to be one spot where it's going to be Urban, Saban, and Patterson all standing together evaluating a D tackle. I know that that's not happening.
Right, right.
But we'll be in on the whole tour, which I think will be great for media coverage. I mean, people are gonna cover this. So, but there will be situations where, you know, there's the Alabama TCU staff here, the Alabama or the TCU Ohio State staff over there, as well as USC at the other one.
That's cool. That's really cool.
I think that's really cool. You know, we didn't have this in our notes, so I just wanted to drop this. And I know it's been all over the Killer Frogs message board as well as some of the other message boards. But you mentioned Alabama and Saban. If you remember, you know, Foster Sawyer was heavily recruited out of All Saints, who's our backup, you know, could be our quarterback this year, that Saban and Alabama wanted him really bad, and that he committed to TCU, especially off of the bad season that we had, was a big deal. Well, on Bruce Feldman and Stu Mandel's podcast, The Audible, which if you're not listening to it, you should be, they had Joe Tessitore off of ESPN on the show and said that he came to spring ball for a couple of days. And he walked away from practice saying that Foster Sawyer was head and shoulders the starting quarterback. And they said Kenny Hill is good, But he said that he just watched it for 2 days, and it's not even a debate. Foster Sawyer will be the starting quarterback for TCU. And I know that's kind of been beaten to death on the message boards, but I just wanted to note that because, good night. If he's really as good as Tessitore was saying, and he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that blows smoke, I cannot wait for this season to get here.
He blows smoke when he's talking about the SEC, though.
This is true. He does. But, you know, you figure he'd be blowing smoke for Kenny Hill then.
That's a good point. And
I don't know if you know it, but A&M is in the SEC.
Oh, yeah. I've heard. Yeah.
Well, we'll look forward to all of that. I can't wait to see get some good news from summer practice, as well as when they fire up in August. Trey, you took a tour. Tell us about your trip. Tell us what you wore. Tell us what you heard and didn't hear.
Yeah, I did take a trip. I went on vacation last week, and we went up to Portland, and we went up to Seattle. And then we were kind of out on the coast of Oregon also. And I purposely wore TCU stuff everywhere that we went in Oregon, hoping to strike up a conversation about the Alamo Bowl. Because we actually went to Oregon last year, and I kind of did the same thing. But obviously we hadn't played yet or anything. You know, so I wore it all over the place again this year. And, you know, I saw multiple people wearing like Oregon Ducks gear and nobody said anything. And I got one comment on the last day when we were in Oregon. We were sitting at this bar and a dude came up and goes, "Oh, is that a TCU shirt?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, I'm from Baton Rouge." He was an LSU fan. And so that was like the only comment I got the entire time. So I was a little disappointed. I wanted to throw it in their face a little bit. But, oh well.
You know, I ran into a guy at a mall with my TCU gear on, and he was an Oregon fan. He didn't have anything Oregon on, but he came up and struck it up. And he's like, "You know, you guys didn't beat us. We beat ourselves." And I was like, did you go to Texas Tech? Did you go to Baylor? You know, like,
sounds like an Aggie.
He does sound like an Aggie. Yes, he does sound like an Aggie. So, well, I'm sorry you got denied that opportunity to remind everybody at Oregon about what that comeback was.
Disappointing, but yeah, I'm sure they didn't want to talk too much about it. So.
I'm sure they didn't. Well, I know some of you guys on listening are getting your seats confirmed and getting your seats upgraded. Trey, you had a milestone that you reached with your seat reassignment. Why don't you just, you know, being the big money donor that you are, I mean, I know that you roll with the Basses. You got the big house down there by Colonial. Tell us about the big feat that you, the achievement that you got in the placement of your seats for this season.
Yeah, so the entire time I've had season tickets since, I guess, like 2008, I think, because I graduated in 2007. And so I've had two tickets since then. And so, you know, I've slowly accumulated some points over the years and all of that. But it was this year. So I don't know. I'm weird. I just like to sit on the end of rows, like at the stadium, on airplanes, like wherever, you know, there's aisles. I like to sit on the end of the row. So there's really only one place for me to move down this year. It was actually the exact same section I was in. Same seats on the end of the row, just five seats closer, five rows closer. And finally this year, like in the past, I'd always been row like VV or like CC. But this year I'm finally moving on up in the world. I'm down to row X. And so I felt pretty accomplished that I'm finally into single letter rows these days. So I'm balling, guys. I'm balling.
You are. At least you're not in like row XXX. That's a saving grace.
Right. So no, we're good. We're good. Life's good in Eamon G. Carter.
That's right, man. Row X. Yes. Anybody wants to swing by row X on the west side and see Trey.
36.
So I'll give you a shout out on the
podcast. Come say hi.
Oh, man. Well, to wrap up, fellas, we got a new segment that we wanted to roll out this week. We, you know, depending on how the season's going, we might have to address it a lot this fall. But simple question. Boys, what are you drinking?
Cheap whiskey.
Trey, we see you sit. What are you drinking, Daniel?
Cheap whiskey. Yeah.
Well, you got to fill us in, man. What you got? Does it have labeled? Does it just have like generic, you know, whiskey across the front?
It's a jar.
Are you just down at like Whiskey Flats?
It's a jar. There's a piece of duct tape where someone wrote whiskey on it.
I love it. Cheap whiskey is what Daniel is down in tonight. He's the only one on the Frogcast that is drinking tonight, so that's usually more than one of us, but he's the only one drinking tonight. Trey, what are you drinking these days?
Yeah, so like I'm a beer geek, and that was kind of part of the reason why we did go to Oregon was to drink beer. We went to actually one of the days, Saturday we were out there, we went to my favorite brewery. It's called DeGarde. And it's out in Tillamook, Oregon, not far from where they make the cheese and all of that stuff.
That's some good cheese.
Yeah, it's just really good, dude. And they have I don't think we get it here, but they also make ice cream that's really damn good.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's really good. I don't think we get the ice cream out here, but I've never checked. But I know we get the cheese and stuff. So that was – they had their 3-year anniversary party, so we went to that, which was awesome. But and like I said, we're not drinking tonight. I drank a little too much on Mother's Day celebrating my wife and my mom, so taking it easy tonight. But
nothing says I love you, Mom, like passed out on
in Fort Worth. I don't know. I mean, they're slowly getting more and more popular. Collective Brewing Project in Fort Worth is probably – my favorite DFW brewery, not just Fort Worth, but all of Dallas, Fort Worth. They are making some really awesome beer. So if you're, you know, in the downtown area, stop by Collective Brewing Project. And it's not far. It's like seriously like a couple blocks from RAR. So you could like hit both on a Saturday afternoon or something.
That's good stuff, Trey. I appreciate that. That is good stuff. When I went to the Minnesota game back to the first of the year to kick off the season, they sold beer at their stadium, which I thought was really cool. And Chris Del Conte, I assume you're listening, Chris Del Conte. If you are, like I know you listen to all our shows, please take that under consideration, not just for the wealthy donors like Trey that have the XXX seats, but like just for the working man, the working pastor that wants to come into the stadium and have a couple beers. In Minnesota, they had beer, and they were selling these, you know, these big 16-ounce cans. And if I'm standing in line in Minnesota on my equivalent of a vacation, I'm not going to just get, like, Coors Light or whatever. They have this beer out of Minnesota called Grain Belt. And I know part of the distinctiveness is it's just a Minnesota beer, and you don't really find it outside of anywhere outside of the Twin Cities or Minnesota. But that was some darn good beer. And so if you are ever up in Minnesota and you can get some Grain Belt, I would encourage you to buy a case of that. In fact, we had some friends come down and visit us that live. She actually teaches at University of Minnesota. And she brought some Grain Belt with her for us to enjoy. And I still got a couple of them in my beer fridge. So I'm drinking Grain Belt because it's different. And somebody else paid for it, which is the best kind of beer. So anybody in the Midwest, if you get a chance to get a hand on that, I would encourage you to do it. It's like a really well-done Coors Banquet beer. And I'm a big fan of that. I don't like spending like $12 for one beer. I want something a little more blue collar than that, but with some distinctiveness. Grain Belt will do that for you. Well, men, we've kind of hit the wall here. We got 35 minutes in. Anything else that you wanted to talk about that we didn't get a chance to say? Any other thoughts? Anything you've been laughing about in terms of the college football landscape before we wrap up our show tonight?
I've been laughing about Baylor just in general.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many days. I'm just counting down the days until the report comes out. I mean, I'm really curious to see how they handle all that. Not that it's a joking matter, but I'm honestly curious to see like how much of this report they make public and if they actually start doing something about their damn issue down there. It's like crazy. Like, everybody just seems to be silent. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, I'm curious to see what comes out of it. I'm curious to see if they release anything of it. You know, I mean, if they get exposed to some liability, I mean, they have a law school. They have to know that they're going to be exposed to some liability in this. They are going to have to make some decisive decisions. And, you know, I don't want to go off on some political rant, but if the president of your university spends multi-million dollars to prosecute a man who basically was doing something he shouldn't have done with an intern, which I do not condone, the least you could do is you know, spend a little money and make a couple of big changes to protect the students that are on your campus. It's who you're inviting into that community, who you're inviting into that campus, and then what you do when you know things aren't going right. That's the stuff that I mean, every time a Baylor fan tells me what happens everywhere, that's like, okay, yes, but this is happening here in a serious way, and athletes should not get preferential treatment. If this happened at TCU and Patterson knew about it, I would demand that he get fired. I can say that with absolute certainty, that if you are just keeping rapists on the team, I don't – oh, gosh, man. There is such a lower bar for a higher education institution to dismiss a player than you're innocent until proven guilty. That is you've got to know that. So I told myself I wasn't going to get ramped up about that, and here I am screaming at my screen. So we'll all find out
about Waco, man.
Well, there is. There's no joke about that. I don't have any updates on the local Waco economy, but I'll see what I can find out for our next time. So, yeah, there is something about Waco. All right, men. As always, this is fun. I my brother has a screensaver that tells him exactly how many days until TCU kicks off. So, Peter, if you get this, please tweet it out, and I'll tweet it to everybody. So we need to know. Football, we need you to get here as soon as humanly possible. So for Daniel and for Trey, I am Jeff Mitchell. Thanks so much for listening to the Frogcast.